From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets and hear a bit more about wheat with Kansas State Extension's Dan O'Brien. Along the way, I'll tell you about the weather forecast for the afternoon and update you on the sale of Smithfield Foods. It looks like it will be going through. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they finished up for Tuesday afternoon. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat or the December futures up 4 3/4 at $6.58 1/4 on a settlement price. The July futures at $6.66 1/2, 3 1/2 cents higher. The hard red at $6.94, unchanged in the hard red winter contract. Corn futures now in Chicago, nearby December at $4.48 3/4, down 4 1/2 cents. The March at $4.61 1/2, a settlement price 4 1/2 lower. And the May corn at $4.69 3/4, down 4 1/2. July at $4.76, 4 3/4 lower. December, $4.86 1/2, down 5 1/2 cents. November beans, $13.12 1/2, up 4 3/4. January at $13.14 3/4, up 4 1/4. The March at $12.98 1/2, up 3 1/2. May futures $12.79, up 4. July at $12.71 1/2, up 4. And next year's November, or the harvest month of 2014, at $11.81, up 4 1/2 cents. Bean meal futures at $414.10, up $3 for the day. Bean oil down 13 cents at $41.84. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $127.32 1/2, that's 72 1/2 cents higher. December futures at $131.22 1/2, up 72 1/2. September feeders at $157.95, up 32 1/2 cents. And the October futures at $163.77 1/2, $1.67 1/2 higher. Lean hogs at $92.50, up $2.32 1/2 for the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or on your smartphone at m.willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. November contract, $103.38 a barrel, down 21 cents. The Arbob, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $265.08. That's 3 1/2 cents higher. Ethanol futures, $1.83 1/2, down 5 1/10 of a cent. And the difference, or the spread between the two, is 8 6/10 of a cent wider than it was yesterday at 82 3/10 of a cent. Natural gas trading, $3.50 1/10 of a cent. 10 1/10 of a cent lower, and diesel fuel at $2.96 1/2 is up 9 1/10 of a cent. Gold futures trading $11 lower at $1,316 as they closed out the day, and the U.S. dollar at 80.57 is up 0.12 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 78 degrees. On an east-southeast wind at about 9 miles per hour for the afternoon. And then tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 57. Again, an east-northeast wind by then at 5 to 7 miles an hour. For tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a high of 78 degrees. On an east-northeast wind at 5 to 8. Clear on Wednesday evening and a low of 52. Thursday, sunny skies and 80 degrees. Thursday evening, mostly clear and 54. And Friday, sunny skies and 83 in the Urbana-Champaign area. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 58. Saturday, sunny and 81. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and a low of 58. A chance of showers through Sunday morning and then partly sunny with a high of 71 degrees. Sunday night, showers, mostly clear and 50 degrees. And on Monday, sunny skies and 73. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. This is, of course, the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is the CMR for the September the 24th edition. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, to look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers busy in your area today, or have they taken out most of what was ready?
No, they're flying along with the combines over here. We're hearing some actually pretty exceptional yields in the beans here now. Probably the low end of what we're picking up is in the mid-50s, and then sort of in the mid-60s for the higher end of things, but a lot of those 58 to 62 bushel beans.
Was that expected in your part of the world?
Pleasantly, we were expecting it early, and then, of course, after the long, hot, dry spell at the end of August, we were concerned, but so far, at least the early beans have been doing really well.
And those who've been out picking corn have found what?
They found it hasn't dried down a lot in the last 2 weeks. It's still a lot of it is up close to 30, and we're not just seeing this dry down a lot, but they're also seeing lots and lots of bushels that they get to dry.
Yeah, are they seeing the quick ships go away as well?
You know, the quick shipment bids have pretty well died down over an area. It's going to continue to see if there were some of the ethanol plants that did rail in some corn and start up a little early on this, if they will that. But I think the quick shipment bids are few and far between right now.
Ethanol plants starting to struggle a little bit to make money per gallon, do you think?
Well, I think they're struggling right now to find enough corn to keep running at full blast every day. So if they have to pay up those premiums, they definitely would be struggling at making money.
What are you suggesting to producers? They say look forward into the month of October, and I suppose maybe you might talk about their crop insurance and the kinds of things they need to think about as they're watching the corn roll into the combine head.
You know, I mean, basically, as we look, there is a decent carry in the corn market. We're 448 and three quarters now for the Dees. You look out to July, it's 476. So there is definitely an offer of carry in the corn market. There is no offer like that in the bean market. And we're hearing all of our commercial friends tell us that basically the farmer does seem to be much more willing to sell beans, and he's talking about storing the corn.
And that's what the market is telling them to do.
It sure is.
And is that what you think they should do?
Well, I think so. Now, the trick is going to be, do we want to lock in some sort of carry for that time frame or not, along as we go. But as long as the yields stay up like this, it's going to be awfully hard to get a big rally out of the corn market right now, Todd.
Are you willing to lock it in that case?
I think, you know, depending on what you have sold or what you don't have sold, but you're on the very low end of things, I think that locking in part of it wouldn't be an all bad idea.
All right. Thanks so much. Anything else before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
One important news item for the afternoon, Smithfield Foods Incorporated's shareholders approved the pork processor's $4.7 billion acquisition by Shangwei International Holdings. It's the biggest purchase of a U.S. company ever by a Chinese firm. More than 96% of the votes cast at a special Smithfield shareholders meeting Tuesday were in favor of the deal. Those represented about 76% of the company's total shares outstanding as of date of record of the meeting, which is today. The deal is expected to formally close Thursday, after which Smithfield shares listed on the New York Stock Exchange will cease to trade publicly. Smithfield, the world's largest pork processor, and Shangwei, the biggest pork producer in China, have said their joining will increase U.S. pork exports to China while enabling Shangwei to learn from the Virginia-based company's food safety and production technology. They have said the acquisition won't result in major changes to Smithfield's management workforce. The president of the National Farmers Union, Roger Johnson, issued the following statement in response to the shareholder approval of Smithfield Foods Incorporated. It is a sad day, he says, for family farmers and consumers when the largest pork processing company in the United States is sold to a Chinese interest. That's the one and most important news item of the afternoon for agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On your smartphone, look at m.willag.org. Or just dial this number at 1015 and 315 each and every day with a little update of the numbers and some analysis at 217-333-3434.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress reports yesterday afternoon. It shows nationwide 91% of the corn crop has dented. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 93%. 40% of the crop is said to have matured compared to the rolling five-year average of 55%. 7% of the corn crop has been harvested. The normal is 16% at this time of the year. 42% of the crop is in good condition, 13% in excellent condition, and combined, that 65% good to excellent category is now 2 percentage points better than it was last week. 47% of the soybean crop is dropping leaves compared to the rolling five-year average of 56%, and 3% of the crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 9%. In the good and excellent categories, the crop is a combined 50%, which is the same as it was in the previous week. Now, here are the updates from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Statewide, an average of 0.43 inches of rain fell during the week, improving topsoil and subsoil moisture to 51 and 43% adequate, respectively. Central Minnesota received 0.96 inches of rain, making it the wettest region for the second consecutive week. 91% of the corn crop was at or beyond the dent stage, remaining behind the normal of 94%. 17% of Minnesota's corn was mature, that's 12 days behind normal. 76% of corn silage has been cut, 2 percentage points ahead of normal, yet behind last year's pace of 99%. Corn conditions were rated 4% very poor, 9% poor, 37% fair, 45% good, and 5% excellent. 79% of the soybean crop was turning yellow, that's 20 percentage points behind last year. 46% of soybeans were dropping leaves, 6 days behind normal. Soybean conditions improved slightly to 50% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 22, 2013. Iowa farmers experienced the wettest week in 12 weeks, with statewide rainfall averaging 1.09 inches, 32 hundredths above normal. Scattered showers brought light to moderate rain Tuesday and Wednesday across the northern and central parts of the state, with the most widespread and heaviest precipitation received nearly statewide on Thursday. However, these storms brought high winds and some hail to southwest and east central Iowa. The rainfall during the week improved topsoil and subsoil moisture levels, which now stand at 23 and 19% adequate to surplus, up 8 and 2 percentage points respectively from last week. Southeast Iowa was the driest area of the state, with 97% of the topsoil in the very short and short categories. Overall, the condition of both corn and soybeans improved slightly, with 37% of the corn crop and 34% of the soybean crop now rated in good to excellent condition. 96% of the corn crop was at or beyond the dough stage, 89% was dented, and 35% was mature, well behind the 61% normally mature by September 22nd. Meanwhile, 69% of the soybean crop was turning color or beyond, and 22% of the crop had begun dropping leaves, 10 days behind normal. There were 5.6 days suitable for field work during the week, with a few reports of farmers harvesting their earliest planted corn and soybeans. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Northern areas of Illinois had above-average rainfall last week, but southern areas were below normal precipitation. Overall, the state was just 1/100th of an inch below normal for the week. Topsoil moisture levels improved slightly from last week, and subsoil moisture levels were practically unchanged. Corn harvest crept up 4 points to 5% complete, well behind last year's 51% and the five-year average of 24% complete. 47% of corn acres are mature, compared to 94% 1 year ago and 62% normally. The condition of the crop declined slightly and is now rated as 12% of acres are in very poor or poor condition, 30% in fair condition, and 58% in good or excellent condition. Switching to soybeans, 72% of acres are now turning yellow, compared to 88% 1 year ago and 77% normally. 37% of acres are dropping leaves, compared to 63% 1 year ago and 47% for the 5 year average. Only 1% of acres have been harvested, compared to 6% normally. The condition of the crop declined slightly and is now rated as 14% in very poor or poor condition, 36% in fair condition, and 50% in good or excellent condition. Wheat planting is now estimated at 2% complete compared to 4% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Kiff Hurlbut with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service presenting the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 22, 2013. Midweek rain showers put a halt to most field activities, including the start of corn and soybean harvest. Temperatures range from 4 degrees below normal in Plymouth to 3 degrees above normal at multiple stations in central and southern Indiana. Weather stations recorded 2 to 5 days of precipitation for the week, with the greatest total amount, 3.63 inches, recorded in South Bend, and the least, 0.54 inches, in Spencer. Generally, the heaviest total precipitation for the week fell in a band from northwest to south-central Indiana. Although the rainfall was much needed across the state, it will benefit late-planted and double-crop soybeans, as well as planted wheat, pastures, and cover crops. Corn silage and seed corn harvest are well underway, and many producers have begun both soybean and corn harvest as well. Some very late soybeans are still green, but shorter days will hasten their leaf drop. 91% of the corn acreage is in the dense stage, compared to 99% last year and 91% for the 5 year average. 47% of the corn acreage is mature, compared with 80% last year and 55% for the 5 year average. 6% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared with 25% last year and 14% for the 5 year average. By area, 49% of the corn crop is mature in the north, 45% in the central region, and 45% in the south. Corn condition is rated 64% good to excellent, compared to 11% last year at this time. The moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 25%. 67% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared with 78% last year and 64% for the 5 year average. 4% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 9% for both last year and the 5 year average. By area, 72% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves in the north, 71% in the central region, and 47% in the south. Soybean condition is now rated 58% good to excellent, compared with 27% last year. The moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On a Tuesday afternoon, let's check now the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line with us from K-State University in Kansas is Dan O'Brien. He's an extension agricultural economist there. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us. You penned a couple of articles. I want to go through the ethanol market and the situation in just a bit, but you also take a look at wheat on a regular basis there in the great state of Kansas, and I'm wondering what you're telling producers about the hard red winter wheat prospects for 2014.
Right now, I think that there we have had moisture, so on the production side, we're more optimistic than we have been. You know, in terms of actually getting a crop, getting some bushels, there's some concern on the price side, Todd. And when you look at both the hard red winter wheat futures as well as the Chicago futures for, you know, hard red and soft red, different crops we're looking at, there's not a lot of carry there. And I think that's what that's indicative of is prospects for sizable, successful crops off in other countries. And even though we've had strong exports here in the U.S. last bit of time, it would seem that as you look at the supplies coming from, again, Ukraine, the Black Sea area, Europe, Australia, places like that, I think the U.S. is going to have some pretty strong, at least my take would be, we're going to have some pretty strong export competition once these other crops come into bear. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that if we have issues with the corn crop that we won't see corn come over again and have cross-market influences to support wheat on the feed side. But all else being equal, you know, absent the big surprise that could come in from somewhere, you know, a major drought here, abroad, wherever, absent that, we don't see great prospects for high prices for wheat later on as we move off into the first part of 2014.
So at this point, it sets up differently than last fall might have for wheat producers, certainly here in our part of the world, in the east side of the Mississippi.
I think so, and again, I'm looking right at the futures numbers, and you know, there's 3, 4, 5 cents per bushel carry, and that's so. That's not a market that's going gangbusters and inverted and saying we need every bushel of wheat that you have. It's kind of pushing it, it's kind of softly off in the future and saying, we can take it or leave it. You know, a lot, and I think a lot of that's driven by the anticipation of a large corn crop. The idea that we won't have to turn to wheat to bail us out here for feed grain usage in a short crop year, and that if we will at least have, say, 14 billion bushels of corn, then the pressure's off in terms of that draw upon the wheat market, and then wheat will stand or fall on the export prospects. And again, the export side could weaken off into 2014.
Since you mentioned corn, nice transition into corn and ethanol futures. The lower price of corn has put, I suppose, some pressure on ethanol producers.
It is interesting when you look at what's happened. The lower price of corn has dropped the projected, by our estimates, the projected cost of production pretty sharply in the last one or two weeks. So we have some decrease, a marginal decrease in the price of ethanol and a sharp decline in the cost of corn. Well, that adds up for the potential, and again, you always want to be careful talking about this, the potential for an increase in profitability for the crop. So it's kind of in a race to the bottom for commodities. If your products you're selling don't drop as much as the inputs you're buying, you're making money.
So anyway. That's the good news, is crude oil staying higher than the price of corn. Is that right?
Yes, right. Ethanol production moved up a little bit here from recent lows this last week, September 13th. Up a little bit from the lowest, the 5-month low back in August. Ethanol demand still remains relatively strong. Of course, the big issue, I think, what you're alluding to, and that no doubt has everybody's attention, is that is how far ethanol futures dropped here in about a week or so ago. And you know, we had a sell off in December corn futures, a sell off in gasoline prices, a little bit of a rise in ethanol production, and but bring all those together, you've got a little bit of a downfall on the ethanol price side. But again, if the corn price falls more, then it's a profitable situation.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. He's located in Kansas, of course. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions of the planet.
It's National Cherries Jubilee Day. The dessert that today is made with cherries, liquor, and vanilla ice cream was first served at one of Queen Victoria's Jubilee celebrations. The Queen was reportedly partial to cherries. The original dish, though, didn't contain ice cream, but was meant to accompany venison, especially red deer or roebuck. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, George Claude was born. A French engineer, he invented the neon light. He first displayed the new light on December 10th of 1910 in Paris. The first U.S. firm to take advantage of the neon sign, was a Packard car dealership in Los Angeles. In 1911, Earl Ovington became the first airmail pilot. His first load included 640 letters and 1,280 postcards, all tucked on the plane floor between his legs. In 1920, Mickey Rooney was born, one of our favorite Rooney roles as Shocky Carter in Hoosier Schoolboy. In the film, Mickey plays a farm boy who sticks by his alcoholic father and is helped by a teacher in getting his dad a job driving a milk truck. And in 1923, Nancy Green died. She was hired to represent and demonstrate Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix. At the 1893 Columbian Exposition in Chicago, the exhibit was so popular that police had to control the crowds at the Aunt Jemima booth. Fair officials awarded her a medal and proclaimed her Pancake Queen. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com. Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day is not available for our weather forecast this afternoon. Here's what the weather for the immediate area looks like over the near term. A 78 to 79 degree high over the next 3 to 5 days, and we'll have mostly sunny skies over that period. The low should be in the mid-50s during that time frame. On Sunday, there is a 40% chance of light rain, some showers, thunderstorms. It'll be the cooler of the days, just a 71 degree high, and then we'll go to a 49 degree evening low on Sunday. That, of course, in the Urbana-Champaign area. If we look farther to the west, the state of Iowa, the forecast for Des Moines over the next several days shows sunny skies and a range of temperatures from 73 today all the way to 83 on Friday. Saturday, their temperatures will start to drop with a 60% chance of rainfall, 75 degrees on Saturday. Sunday, sunny skies and 71 in Des Moines. The nighttime lows there are a little bit warmer than here in our part of the world. They'll range from the low 50s early in the week to about 60 at midweek and then drop back down to 50 degrees on Sunday evening. Turning our attention to China, it is much cooler there, a 58-degree high today, and they'll top out 60, 67 on Friday, and then 35 to 32 degrees over the next couple of nights with a 47-degree and mostly clear sky on Friday evening. They are looking for no rainfall in the near term, that in the northwestern part of China near Jilin. But in Bengbu, which is a bit lower down in altitude, has an 80% chance of rainfall on Friday. They'll have a 72-degree high for their harvest season today and tomorrow in the lower to mid-70s and partly sunny skies. The weather forecast for South America shows Rosario and the growing regions of Argentina with a high today of 62 degrees and clear skies. It'll stay sunny all the rest of the week with a nice warming trend into Friday with a 73-degree high. Their nighttime lows start at 39 degrees this evening and make their way to 52 on Friday evening. In Sao Paulo, Brazil, they'll have an 88-degree high today, mostly cloudy skies, and then they'll begin to drop down in temperatures by the time we get to Friday, a 60% chance of rainfall there, and 82 degrees for their high. And that's a look at the growing region's weather across the planet and wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a very safe harvest season and a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.